This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Now on Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Bart, it's sometimes there's a story as we follow, and you just try to say there's something more to this. And we've been talking about Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans for quite a while. And we've been sort of following it basically from the lens of Deshaun Watson wanting out. And immediately all we talk about is Deshaun Watson and where he can go, because it's fascinating. He's such a great player. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a top five quarterback. This is someone that can transform, like you said, a franchise to where most places he could go, that franchise would become a Super Bowl contender. We just saw Tom Brady do it. So immediately we just focus on that and nothing more, because that's the fun part of football. But the other part of this is, why the hell would the Texans trade him? Well, because he's not happy. Okay. So then you say, well, he probably just wants money. No, he doesn't. He just got a gigantic contract. So it's not a money thing here. What could it possibly be? Something's going on with that franchise. He's not talking. See, if he was saying things, or even through his agent saying things, you'd start to be able to connect dots. There are no dots to connect here. The only people talking are the Texans. And all they're saying is, we're not trading him. So they make their hires, and they do what they have done so far with the head coach and a GM. But there's one person there that everybody continues to talk about. It's not Cal McNair, the owner.
That's what happened.
Who has taken over,
right?
Since his father, Bob, passed away. Mm. It is a guy named Jack Easterby that we've referenced, but I haven't put a lot of time into. There was a cover story in SI a couple of months ago that really did dive deeper into this story. And that's the one really where it catches your attention, because, you know, the cover story, the chaplain who won a power struggle and plunged a franchise into chaos. Hmm. So I was watching Get Up this morning, as I always do, and they had a graphic up about Easter, because I kept saying, like, who is this guy? I've never heard of him. And, like, what is he? How could he be that?
Where did he come from?
Yeah. Right, where did he come from? And what could be the issue? How can one guy just be that bad of an influence? Well, here's where it gets interesting. I looked at his profile, and the GetUp had a box of his profile and what his resume is. He was a theology major at Liberty University. Did not play football in high school or college. Played basketball and golf in high school. But neither here nor there. He's worked his way through organizations. He's even spent time in college at the University of South Carolina. But really, like, one of his first jobs that really got him into the sport was not as an intern with Jacksonville back in, what, 04, where he was, like, public relations and stuff like that. He was a chaplain with the Chiefs. And with Scott Pioli, I believe, brought him in, right?
Yep.
And then from there, he moved on to become what is, I believe, called a character coach.
That sounds like a made-up position.
It does sound made up. With the New England Patriots.
Character coach. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, something along those lines. And I want to get all the, yeah. Six seasons. Yes. Yeah, that's exactly. He joined the Patriots prior to 2013 in the role of character coach. Then it was expanded to team development director and management, and had management responsibilities. Okay. And then, of course, he's a three-time Super Bowl champion, which I know, Bart, you probably love seeing that.
Jimmy G was even looking at that, like, what?
He was with the Chiefs, right, as well, as I mentioned. And then as he moves on from New England, where he was basically a character coach, he went to the Texans in April of 2019 as executive vice president of team development.
Now, you have to stop me right there.
Oh, hang on. Let me just finish, because I'll give you the whole resume. And then named executive vice president of football operations in January of 2020, his role is where he manages all football operations and directs the overall, here's that word again, culture of the organization. Now, as I mentioned that, let me mention one other thing. That back in the fall, the team fired its
communications.
And I have it right here. I just want to make sure I have everything just correct so I get this all right. They fired their director, the vice president of communications, Amy Palchik, who is very successful. She's been there a long time. Popular among all the players that she's worked with. Usually happens with PR people with teams. And fired her, according to Shefty. The team told her she was no longer a, quote, cultural fit, end quote. Culture. There's that word again. J.J. Watt went right to Twitter, furious. First and only woman to be head of PR for an NFL team and win the Roselle Award for best PR staff in the NFL. Massive help in the hurricane efforts, community events, so much more. So there's that word again, Bart, right?
Culture.
So, and then, of course, there's a story of Jamie Roots, who's the president, or was, of the organization. He is listed in the directory directly under McNair. So you would say that he would be number two in the organization, right? Second in
yes.
command.
Yep.
Okay. And Easterby is below both GM and coach. And Roots, after 20 years, decides, I'm out of here. I'm done with this place. Now listen to Adam Schefter and what he sees as the resignation, the surprising resignation of Jamie Roots. Take a listen to this.
Today, their president, Jamie Roots, resigned effective immediately. And I think anytime there's any news with the Houston Texans, people want to know, how does this impact or read out with Deshaun Watson? And I think the issue here is that there are people in that organization, in and around the league, who have questions about the direction of that franchise. Jamie Roots clearly was one of them. He was a part of the search process that basically blacked him out, discounted and ignored the words of the search firm that the organization paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for, and in the end went with Nick Caserio, who obviously is a qualified candidate. No issue with Nick Caserio. It's the way the organization ran the search and ultimately moved in the end. I think Jamie Roots was uncomfortable with that. He was uncomfortable with the direction of the franchise. And ultimately, after 20 years with the organization in which he made all their big business decisions, he decided to resign from his post, which I think is a reflection of the way that some people in that organization and some people around the league view that spot right now.
So, Bart, what you basically have, and a lot of people are suggesting this, and that's why I feel like we got to look deeper into this. This is more than a football story. This is when franchises go bad, you always wonder, how did it happen? What happened? Mm-hmm. Did they bring in somebody to be a culture coach and effectively messed up the culture?
Killed the culture.
What do you know? Because you've talked to some people that you know directly that know what's going on behind the scenes there.
Well, like you, right? We looked up and we started digging and trying to see, how can we learn more, who we are connected to. And I'm just still looking at the SI article, and it talks about his role. And in this article, it says that they interviewed and had conversations with more than 40 people, current and former, Texans player, football operations staff and players, colleagues from Easterby's past. And they talk about some of the decisions that he's had a role in. And they say that he's really big, and people have spoken out about, him creating a culture, there's that word again, of undermining other executives and decision makers, including the head coach who helped bring him to Houston. That would be Bill O'Brien. Talked about his role in, having workouts held at the strength and conditioning coach's house during COVID-19, in which, we know that the Texans and the mm-hmm. Cowboys had an outbreak. He had a role in advocating for the trade of star receiver DeAndre Hopkins soon after arriving. And we know that rubbed Watkins the wrong way. And then fostering a culture of distrust among staff and players, to the point that one Texan and two other staffers believed that they were being surveilled outside of the building.
Really?
This is amazing stuff. And so I reached out to my circle of trust, and what I've been able to gather is that, all those allegations are true, that the one source that I had believed that he was a master manipulator, and he rose to prominence Easterby rose to prominence because of his conservative views, being a man of faith, being able to connect with a conservative owner in Kyle McNair, and being able to come in and, you know, he gave me numerous examples of how he's undermined and created a whole environment in which it's a level of distrust. And he also told me that he believes that Deshaun Watson is dug in, and if he has to hold out, that he's not going to go back. That, you know, you think about, you know, what Deshaun Watson stands for and what he's been through in his life. For those of our listeners who don't know, you know, Deshaun Watson received a house from Habitat Humanity from Warwick Dunn as him and his mom was homeless.
It's one of the and great stories, yeah.
He also, he took care of his brothers and sisters and assisted, he raised them while his mother was going through cancer treatment. So this is a man who's been through a lot, and when he decides that he's going to do something, he does it. So now we're talking about, on the other side, a man who has his own values and beliefs, and I think this is just a game of chicken, and we don't know who's going to blink, but this is definitely not an environment and a culture coach that have created a culture in which a lot of players want to be involved in and a lot of players want to stay in. And I don't know how – I've never seen, Alan, in my life.
I'm going to ask you that, yeah.
We had a team chaplain. I can never envision a team chaplain becoming so powerful within an organization without any football acumen. And maybe Deshaun Watson is looking around and saying, these are the guys that are going to make the decisions that shape and sculpt my legacy. Why would I want to be around this? And I got to go. And this is going to be a fascinating story. And I'm sure now that Pandora's box is open, we're going to do some more digging and digging and digging. But every time you look up and you talk about what potentially could be going wrong in Houston, it comes up and it's Easterby. And none of us know who he is, but I think we're going to find out. And I think we're going to start looking underneath the pillows and underneath every crevice there is, because this is a fascinating story, one of the likes that I've never heard or been around in all my years around the Professional Football League, which is now north of 20 years.
And you and I talked about this extensively earlier before the show, and we just kind of stumbled across it, right? Because I think we were like asking each other questions about Deshaun. And then you started doing your thing, and I started doing my thing. And the two of us were just like, "What? Like, I don't think this story's been told." And Andre Johnson, remember, he went to Twitter recently,
yes,
telling Deshaun to get out of there, and he named Easterby. He named my name. And tell everybody again, those who don't know, Andre Johnson, post career, like, I know you told the story about on the field.
That was his first tweet in like 8 years. Andre like, Johnson don't
doesn't
talk.
Right, he doesn't.
He don't
say
same
much.
Thing. And what did everybody say? They said, "Hey, when Dre talks, we listen." And they said, "Get out. If Dre says get out, get out." Because he's a guy. They said, they talked about how Houston has ruined careers. And I think Easterby coming there is just adding on to it and affecting the culture to the fact. And, of course, I mean, not breaking news. My source also told me that he believes that, you know, J.J. Watt is not coming back. Nor
Watt,
remember,
was also very critical of the culture of the team. Late in the season, when he was talking about how players approach the game, like, he had a major issue with players.
So every
like people
time,
come here, they pay to watch us play. They rally around us, and you've got to give your best effort. And we don't, like, he made it clear we don't have that going on here. And then here's Deshaun. Deshaun signs a 4-year, $160 million extension in September, only months after Easterby sort of, like, I think it was January, if I'm not mistaken, I said, where he took that role. He got promoted into the bigger role. So for Deshaun to play a season out and then realize even after signing that extension, so this is not about money, everybody. This can't be about money. This can't be about power, is it?
I can't think about what's the most.
It's got to be deeper than that.
What's the most dysfunctional franchise we know in recent years? Because I don't – this publicly is starting to become one of the most dysfunctional organizations. When you have a man that's been there for 20 years – volunteer to leave. To leave. Like, I'm done. I can't take this anymore. When you have someone who's been recognized as one of the best communication directors fired to the point where it shocks the industry, then you have to ask yourself, if he's the culture coach, what type of culture is he providing?
Well, that's what the owner should be asking. Shouldn't the owner – And again, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, because we've seen this. This is across sports. You see sometimes a franchise that suddenly goes south. And, you know, Bill O'Brien took a lot of criticism. He took a lot of the blame, you know, and rightly so. And he finally, you know, ended up losing his job. The team did have success. They kept winning divisions. They just couldn't get any further than that. But he leaves, and things got worse, not better.
Right.
Now again, you know, Caserio, you know, Cully, like, they expect to try to change things there. But can you, if there's something underlying going on in that organization that needs to be fixed first, and can it happen if the owner is the one that's locked in with whoever it is that is? I don't know. There's Bart, have you ever...
People get
how much are we hearing culture with franchises now? Everything's culture. Culture, yeah. Coach, you played in the league for a decade. You played for two really tough franchises. If you had a guy come up to you, hey, I'm the culture coach, Bart. I want to have a chat with you. What would be your reaction?
Bro, we can have a conversation. I'm a grown-ass man, bro. I know how to be a professional. We're not about to sit up here and have a conversation. You check your culture. Like, I understand what culture we have. And, like, usually, like, who has a – man, the culture coordinator, I've never heard of this.
That sounds like a made-up position.
That culture is supposed to be set by your coach. The coach and the
culture
people in the locker room set your culture.
Culture is not tangible. Like, how do you have a job about something that is not tangible?
Yeah.
And then – but, look – this guy's ambitious. There's no doubt about it. But I just said to myself, you got this high in an organization in the NFL. You've got to have some football behind you, right? Did you play in high school? You played somewhere. You have something. Is there a tree off of where you grew up here? Like, anything. And no, nothing. That would be literally like me getting a job in the front office of the Jets.
He reminds me of Steve Martin, man. I don't know, man. He could be a slick talker, man. Like, we understand. Like, I've been around preachers and men of the cloth. They know how to present a message. They know how to get underneath. They know how to pull on the strings. Master manipulators. I just don't understand, you know, the fact that this guy has been able to get so much power, and why his word and why his voice is so strong when seemingly he has no experience to do the job. Nothing within his bio suggests that he is equipped to do the job. No experience with football.
It's,
I mean, culture coach, a chaplain. What is a chaplain doing with football? He's talking to you about, you know, your faith, making sure that you're okay spiritually. That's
like, you have an issue with, don't you take it, who is it with the Lions? Is it Spielman you take issue with having
having
an influence? At least he played. At least he was a great player. Like, it's one thing. People used to complain that Isaiah Thomas had too much say in the Knick organization with James Dolan.
Right.
Isaiah Thomas is a Hall of Famer who won championships.
Exactly.
So you can understand if, okay, I'm going to listen
coach.
To him. You know, like, it's like there's certain things where you could feel like way too much influence, but, all right, he's got a resume. This is one where it's like it's not fathomable. Is it really about this man? SI did a cover story that told you, yes, it absolutely is. And everyone that talks about the Texans, and just understand, everybody, this isn't like we're not attacking this guy. I've never met him. I don't know. But I'm just trying to piece together something that starts at the very top with Deshaun Watson. It starts with him. And I just keep coming back. Again, the Spidey senses are tingling. Why? He just signed a huge contract. How in 1 year has it soured to a point where he's not even talking publicly? He's not returning calls. He is done. He has pulled the plug. He has cut the cord. You're blocked. He has literally blocked his franchise. What could have possibly gone wrong from September to now? And it all, if you ask anyone, if you read anything, and the one guy, Andre Johnson, is in the history of that franchise, who was a great player and never, ever says anything, says that name as well. I'm sorry. Bart said at the beginning, where there's smoke, there's fire. And this is something, by the way, Bart, I know, you know, the league tries to stay out of things. If you're Goodell, and now I joked about, well, you want Deshaun in a big market. What you want is Deshaun to stay in Houston. That's what you want if you're the NFL. Don't you think the league's got to, like, also check this out as well? As like, hey, you know, McNair, what are we doing here?
Yeah, remember, because, you know, people out there remember, McNair did not buy the team. He's not a lifetime. He inherited the team as his father passed away.
True.
So a lot of times we got daddy's kids, like we see out there. Was it Jet York out there in San Francisco? A lot of these, or Irsay in Indianapolis, a lot of these second-generation owners are inheriting the team. Doesn't mean that they're equipped to run a
York's
team.
York's done a good job. The Rooney's always done a good job.
Right,
like
right.
Certain times it does work, but here's one where obviously it is certainly alarming. Again, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, at Barton Hahn, Twitter, Instagram, for your reaction to this. Coming up, we have audio files, and let's go on the boats down in Tampa with the Bucks and enjoy what was, I guess, a parade. It was also weekend at Brady's in a certain way. But right now, as we close in on Valentine's Day, Bart has this from 1-800-Flowers.
In every relationship, there is a short list of forgivable offenses, but not taking out the, like, taking out the trash, not taking out the trash, forgetting to do the dishes or folding the laundry, but missing the most romantic day of the year isn't one of them. Valentine's Day is here, so don't wait. Head to 1-800-Flowers.com today, right now. 1-800-Flowers has an amazing, great last-minute deal for all you last-minute guys on sweets, treats, and beautiful Valentine's bouquet and arrangements. There's still time to have your bouquet delivered for Valentine's Day, but you have to get moving now. There's an amazing selection of romantic gifts that are guaranteed to wow. 1-800-Flowers has everything you need for Valentine's. This is your last chance. This is the last chance to lock in these Valentine offers. So order today. Only good while supplies last. Get right to the romance this Valentine's and find a way to wow with 1-800-Flowers.com. To order last-minute Valentine bouquets, go to 1-800-Flowers.com. Click the radio icon. Enter promo code BART. Valentine's Day is Sunday. Sunday, so order today and save at 1-800-Flowers.com. Promo code BART. We're back with audio files after this, and you don't want to miss this one. Hot fire. Dylan, Dylan, Dylan. Back after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
Talk about a recruiting video.
We deserve it. We worked hard all year.
Your ain't going nowhere.
I'm not leaving.
Yeah! We ain't going nowhere.
I'm not leaving.
No, you ain't going nowhere either.
This is my home.
No, you ain't going nowhere either.
The show knows up.
Shout out, Emily. Great job on that. That's a great rejoin. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. And yeah, the celebration was on yesterday in Tampa. And instead of being on floats on a street, they did it the only way you do it in Florida. Get on a boat. Float around.
Brady pulling up with his $2 million masterpiece. You know what I'm saying?
By the way, if you saw,
subtle flex.
I tweeted the video out too, because Lewis Riddick tweeted video of Tom Brady stumbling.
Come on, Lewis, you ain't supposed to do that. Don't.
Well, I think
sand,
he
Lewis.
Saw. I don't think that was his video. Somebody else had it, but he tweeted it. And it's basically Brady is being held. Like if you let go, if whoever that was next to Brady let go of him, he'd go right. Like it was weekend at Bernie's, and he was Bernie. if you ever seen that movie, it was Weekend at Brady's.
Way back. Ding, ding, ding,
sunglasses ding, ding, ding. On, right. He was just, his entire body was a complete jellyfish.
Listen,
it was fantastic.
Alan, have you ever said, you know what, I'm going, to say, for Lent or anything, saying, hey, I'm not going to drink or do anything, or I'm going to diet and you eat all clean, and you give your body any type of alcohol? Talk about being a lightweight. I've had a strawberry daiquiri after, like, not doing nothing. It was almost have to pick me up, and I'm a dude that can get him down. You know, I could drink a whole thing, a Casa Azul. You know what I'm saying? I can get it all in. Man, I had a little spritzer, and I was like, woo.
Yeah. All of a sudden, it's like,
I need some,
dude,
I need some
that's
carbs.
A Zima. It doesn't matter. It tastes so good when it touches your lips. It happens. It does, and it happened
I mean,
for Brady.
Yeah,
but that was a celebration. And they throw the Lombardi from one boat to another. And hey. It's, you know, if that goes in the drink, who's diving in? Gronk's diving in. Like, you know, somebody's diving in, right? And that only would be an interesting thing.
Nerds!
The Lombardi, that's an awesome reference. The Lombardi should become more like the Stanley Cup. Those who know the Stanley Cup, and Tampa certainly does, they've got two.
Yeah.
And you know, the Cup has, like, these legends. You know, Clark Gillies played for the Islanders when they won their dynasties in the early 80s. He let his dog eat his dog food out of the cup. And when people are like, why would you let your dog eat out of the cup? He said, because he's a good dog. The cup was once drop-kicked into the canal in Ottawa.
Yeah.
Like, had moments. It's been in places where it's seen things it ain't supposed to see, if you know what I'm saying, Bart.
But it's crazy.
So that's the story, the legend of the cup and where it goes. Why can't the Lombardi have that kind of same legacy, too? And maybe it started in Tampa.
Yeah, it's just how it's made, right? And it's like great. All the people are like, don't throw it. Come on, man. These are professionals. They catch everything. They wasn't going to pull a Travis Kelce in the game on a big third down.
Oh,
they was
going to
make
you.
Sure they make the catch. And if
how
they did, it was going to land in their lap. You know, man, listen, this is what you put all that hard work in for, man. It's just it's a sign of like what happens when you sacrifice to the extent that Tom Brady has, and you see him let loose and finally release some steam after being so locked in. He'll probably start working out and start eating double avocado scoops like next week. But this week, Brady, do whatever the
sleep
hell
this
you
one off.
Do.
Yeah, absolutely. Get away a little bit. Get some sun. Get some
because he'll
rest.
Realize he's not as young as those other kids. They're going to drink today, tomorrow, the next day. Brady got one day. He's done for a week.
The one thing, Bart, that you and I both can relate to is how Tom's feeling right about now.
Exactly.
That's the one thing we can relate to. But let's relive the championship celebration of the Buccaneers in audio files.
The audio file.
How about the players? Let's hear from them. Lavonte David, right? Godwin, I'm sorry. That's right. Several of them. So all of these guys, all at the podium, having a great time, and all sounding a lot like the Wolf of Wall Street. Take a listen.
I made time for my home. I appreciate y'all. I want to be back. I love to be back. I love to do it again.
Your ain't going nowhere.
Tampa was good. We deserved it. We worked hard all year.
Your ain't going nowhere either.
Yeah! We ain't going no where.
We got Shaq and we got Ndamukong Suh.
And no, your ain't going nowhere either.
I ain't just saying that. I mean that. We're going to do it again. Y'all feel that?
No, you ain't going nowhere either.
So you've got basically
guys win championships. A lot of them always get rid of a lot of people. You know, Ndamukong Suh, maybe he's coming back. He's starting to get a little older, but he's still playing at a high level. They talk about a guy that doesn't take plays off. Shaq Barrett is going to be the one that's interesting to me because out of all those, they're going to have to pay mega money to Shaq Barrett for what he's been able to do. 19 sacks the year before. He's never got his money. Remember.
Bart's having a little spike here in the show, so we got to keep an eye on his audio. But meanwhile, let's move on because,
Damn it,
all right.
Out.
You know what's funny is you have in Florida, they're used to the Marlins, and they win a championship, and in the parade, it's like, yeah, we're out.
Tear it all up.
Everybody's gone later. The next year. That happened twice, but they're saying, no, we're all coming back. They want to do it again. But as Bruce Arians tells us in the next cut, don't say run it back. That's somebody else's phrase. Take a listen.
And anybody that says run it back, bullshit. All right, that's Kansas City's bullshit. We're going for two. All right, we're going for two, and we ain't stopping.
They've given us all the resources to keep all you guys together.
Jason Light.
And to keep you next year. And we're going to win this thing again, all right?
I mean, they're feeling good about themselves. It's going to be easier said than done. Because Kansas City said that same thing. But, you know, I think, you know, Kansas City kept their team together for the most part. You hear Mike Evans saying, hey, take some money from me if we got to keep people together. Tom Brady doesn't make a lot of money. The big one is, are you going to bring Gronk back? Because O.J. the Juice Man is coming off an injury. And then what are you going to do with O.J. Howard coming back? So, you know, when you think about championship teams, Alan, you think about teams that have subtle tweaks. You can't keep everybody. That's just the reality of it. So, you know, you look what happened out in L.A. They didn't keep Dwight Howard. They didn't keep Rondo. They didn't say let's run it back with them. So they're going to have to say goodbye to some of those guys. But that's what you're supposed to say on a day like that day in celebration that, hey, everybody's going to be back. But the reality of it is not so much. There will be upgrades and downgrades. And I think Shaq Barrett and Chris Godwin are the major threats to get major money because they've never been paid before. I'm sure Dominican Sue wants to come back for less money. He's made like $200 million. He was like one of the top five picks. Got paid so much money. Of course, he'll come back. Of course, Gronk will come back. He's made his money. But a guy like Shaq Barrett who came over from Denver and he only, you know, was making $5 million deal, had 19 sacks the year before and 8 this year, he's going to want $100 million plus.
Let's just take a look into this, though, as we finish audio files. Is when you hear Bruce Arians there, is that a peek into what he's like in a locker room? Is that the appeal of a Bruce Arians? Now, obviously, the way he was talking, he was holding the Bud Light, so he might have had one or two, you know, Chardonnays. But the point is that what Brady and others are talking about when it comes to BA? Is like,
cool,
you just love this guy because that's probably how he talks to his players, no?
Yes, no risky, no bisky. Like, come on, man. That's a real thing, right? Like, he's an OG. Like, I know this year we got accustomed to seeing him wear the team-issued hat. This is a dude that walks around with a damn Kango. What dude walks around in a damn Kango? LL don't even wear the Kango no more. He took it off and showed you the ball head. This dude is cool, man. This dude is down like four flats, man. Listen, if we were having a racial draft with Dave Chappelle again, the black people would draft Bruce Arians and probably give back John Harbaugh. You know what I'm saying? That's how cool this dude is, man.
Give back John Harbaugh. Well, you never had him.
No, see, this is an inside joke because, you know, we took him and we took him and Steve Asciotti and we gave Ozzie Newsome to the white folks.
Oh, you did that? When did you do that?
We did that when I was in Baltimore. We traded.
So you would then trade Harbaugh back, right?
Yeah, we traded.
That's audio files. That was a lot of fun. It was just, it's cool to see that, especially in these times. And they tried to do it the right way by, instead of, you know, just get on the boats and go out in the water. It must have been just an amazing, as more snow fell here in New York.
Yeah,
they're down there in 70 degrees with shirts off, a little jelly. And yeah. Tom Brady admitted on Twitter, nothing to see, although noting to see here, just a little avocado tequila.
Yo,
been
see,
there, done that.
He's powerful enough. Now he's going to drop a new brand of avocado tequila.
Now.
Full facts.
Now, plus is jumping ahead because I'm going to now tease you something that LeBron then tweeted off this, because for some reason LeBron always likes to include himself in a lot of different other championship celebrations. So what LeBron said in – what it maybe says about him, too. That's coming up. Former teammates go to war at UFC 258 as Kamaru Usman defends his welterweight title against Gilbert Burns, only on ESPN Plus, where you can also, by the way, find our show and hours of daily sports talk. UFC 258, exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $69.99. Visit ESPNPlus.com/PPV. So what LeBron said on Twitter, and how he just forces himself into the conversation, and what it says about him. And it sparked a really interesting debate we had last night on the show's, our group chat.
Yeah.
It got really lively, Bart. It certainly was. So we'll discuss. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Han.
Give me shelter. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Bart and Han show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. You know, we got to get to this eventually at some point this week, though, Bart. The Red Sox trading Benintendi to the Royals is one of those, like, all right, so now that's two-thirds of that outfield that you had that you thought was going to be the outfield of the future's gone. And even Jackie Bradley Jr. could be on his way. So if you're in Boston, they're cost-cutting and they're making decisions before they got to pay people. And it's just curious what's happening in Boston. We will get that. We got plenty more to get to, of course. Odell could be traded again, and there's some talk. I think Mike Tannenbaum said, what about putting him, replacing Godwin with him? And I worry about that. You talk about culture.
And chemistry,
that's a bit
you
of
got
a culture.
Two of them. You
that's
him
a concern.
And Antonio Brown there. Are you bringing Antonio Brown back?
Is that really, like, is Odell a fit with what they've got there in Tampa? Because, see, Odell's a guy that wants followers. I don't want a guy that's going to come in looking for followers. I've got the leader already. It's Tom Brady.
Odell used to have the resume. Like, remember, he was on a path and a trajectory. No, he was on it. No, I'm saying this.
He
was on a trajectory. What I'm saying is he was on a trajectory. No, his first 3 years was, like, better than
Randy
Moss.
And
the last 3 years have been unkind to him. So now he's one of these guys that have that label that he's a culture killer that, you know, look at Cleveland. They got better without him.
Right. I don't think he's intentionally that, though. I don't think Odell intentionally is that. I don't think he realizes he does it. Right. But I think he's just a guy that attracts attention. That's what he is. He just attracts it, whether he likes it or not. And I think he likes it more than he doesn't. And I think that also can, for other teammates, be like, it's just something, you know, there's too many bright lights in the room. You got one, it's Brady. You don't need any more. And so I wonder if for the Bucs, if that's really would be a good thing. It's, like I said, lots to get to this week, and we're only halfway through it. But halfway through it. More than halfway through.
We got one more day.
What am I talking about? We got tomorrow. I'm so lost now.
Yeah, you can work two more days this week. I'm not.
You know why? Because we started on Sunday. We work that's Sunday morning, don't forget.
That's right.
All right, so but let me add this. So off of the Bucs parade, here's LeBron James tweeting. And I – to Tom Brady's tweet about, you know, the little avocado tequila. LeBron James tweets, man, oh, man, I wish we were able to have our parade, too, because I would have been walking beautifully just like you. Now, remember when the Dodgers won the World Series? He's like,
yes.
Can we have a parade?
LeBron, you're great, man. You don't have to keep trying to remind us all the time. He's a narcissist, man. He can't let nobody else have no shine. Like, bro. This ain't about
even when he's congratulating you. He's like he puts himself in it.
Man, I wish I could have. Like, man, this ain't about you. This ain't your moment, bro.
LeBron's the guy who he's with his family at Disney watching the Main Street Parade, and as the floats are going by, and there's Minnie waving and all that stuff. LeBron's like going to do an IG live, going, "Man, I wish I could have a parade like this."
Like yo, man.
Come
like,
on, man. You'll get your parade. Yeah,
like,
all right.
Man, like, man, we might need to do this parade here, bro.
Well, just win another title, and you can have your parade in
June.
Have
a double
July.
Parade.
That's
they
it.
They got Disneyland out there, right?
Yeah, of course.
How about go around Disneyland, do it down there. It's all good.
It's just,
go to
me, it's hysterical. But it brought up, like I said, on our group chat last night, it brought up a deep conversation about likability and talent. And the MJ LeBron conversation turned into, okay, well, if Tom Brady's MJ, who's his LeBron? It can't be Mahomes. He's too young, right? So we started talking about who it could be. Resulted in Aaron Rodgers. And I'm going to really end the show with that. Why? Because we want you to come back tomorrow so we can take that conversation even deeper. Yeah, that's right. That's what we
you
do.
You got a
we
full tease day
24
tease?
Hour
a 24
tease.
Hour tease?
Yeah, that's how we do it, Bart.
Nice.
So hang on that, and I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll holla.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.